Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Joy floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me, freed me from sin which long had enslaved me, lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to him, to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity.
Judges chapter number 3 in your Bibles. Judges chapter number 3 in your Bibles. You'll see here in a second why we did not read that together. Judges chapter number 3, verse number 7. And I'll read that. It says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord God, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam in the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Chushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Chushan-Rishathaim 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Chushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against Chushan-Rishathaim. And the Lord had rest 40 years. And Othniel, the king of Kenaz, the son of Kenaz, died." Let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd please just be with us for a little while this morning. I pray, Lord, that you'd please just take something that is said and would speak to hearts. Lord, I pray, Lord, that it wouldn't be my own words or my own wisdom, but, Lord, it would be something from you, Lord, and that your Holy Spirit would work. Thank you for the great week that we had. Thank you so much for Revival Fires, and Lord, I pray, Lord, that you please bless now. In your name we pray, amen. We speak, preaching a message today called "What Makes Him So Special." You know, I was thinking a little bit about, you know, the opportunity to preach this Sunday morning, and some of you may be thinking, well, how in the world did they get this guy that doesn't even come to our church to preach? That's because Sunday mornings, I'm usually over in the other building in junior church. And then after junior church, I go upstairs to the teenagers. By the way, at this time, we are still playing a game. So I'm in game mode right now. But we're still playing around. And so that's where I'm at over there. I don't skip out on church Sunday mornings. I am someplace. But I was thinking about this, you know, after a full week of Revival Fires, you know, I was thinking, good night. There was a lot that was preached. I mean, what more do I preach on? And then I thought, there was a lot preached. I've got a lot of messages I could preach, though. So, but we're gonna look at a message this morning. What makes him so special? You know, the verses that we read are just a short excerpt about a man that God was able to use in a special way. By the way, let me say that God wants to use us all in a special way. God has a purpose for us. And Othniel doesn't seem to be anyone special. And, you know, not many people would even know who Othniel was. That they, you know, you know the people in the Bible, the Daniels and the Davids, you know those people because you hear them being preached on a lot, but you don't hear about Othniel. You just don't hear his name. Othniel did something special. Let me just tell you this, Othniel, his name means Lion of God. Years before Othniel was born, his uncle, who was a famous person in the Bible, did something special. His uncle was Caleb. And Caleb did something that impressed God. Caleb was a young man when the children of Israel were slaves in the land of Egypt. And Caleb was there when Moses commanded Pharaoh to let my people go. He was in with the Israelites at that time. He was there when God sent 10 plagues to force Pharaoh to obey. He was there when there was no way of escape, but God parted the Red Sea and they walked across on dry land. He was there when, as soon as the last Israelite stepped on the other shore, that God collapsed the Red Sea and the entire Egyptian army was wiped out. He was there. He saw that. He was there when God brought the children of Israel to the borders of the Promised Land. And you know what happened. Moses selected 12 men to spy out the land, and Caleb was one of them. Caleb and Joshua went into the Promised Land, and when they got out there, they saw all of the things that were in the land. They saw the land flowing with milk and honey. They saw the great cities. They saw the orchards. They saw the wells. And what they saw, when they saw it all, they remembered that God had told them that it was theirs. And what it's, you know what's amazing? They just believed God. God said it was theirs. They remembered the great works that God had done, and they were convinced that if God was giving them the land, there was nothing that could stop them. But that was only two. There were 10 other spies. Those other 10 spies, not so much. They saw the same exact things that Caleb and Joshua saw. They saw the same orchards. They saw the land flowing with milk and honey. What does that mean? Flowing with milk and honey, you know, or a stream that has milk flowing down. I don't think I would drink that milk. But they saw all of that. And instead of being excited about God, what God was going to do, they were afraid. And that fear that was in them, they started spreading that throughout the camp. Before you knew it, the entire host of the children of Israel, they were afraid. Why? So, they said, we're not going to go. God, we're not going to obey you. We're not going to go into the Promised Land. So God, okay, fine. You don't want to go into the Promised Land? You don't have to. But your entire generation is going to die, except for Caleb and Joshua. And your kids are then going to come to the Promised Land, and they are going to enter in. 40 years they wandered through the wilderness. 40 years later, Caleb, now as an 85-year-old man, enters into the Promised Land. Turn over to Joshua chapter number 14. Joshua chapter number 14. Joshua chapter number 14, verse number 7. And we'll start there, Joshua 14. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever. Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85 years old, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me. Then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. At 85 years old, this man still had faith. At 85 years old, he still believed that if God had given that as an inheritance, he could go in. And at 85 years old, he drove the giants out from that land. And he took what God had given him. Othniel was his nephew. Okay, well, Brother Mick, I get why Caleb was special. The things that man did, I get why he is special. But what makes Othniel special? What makes him so special? Go back to Judges chapter number 3 with me. I want us to notice that first of all, what is so special about Othniel? First of all, he had a purpose. He had a purpose. Verse number 7, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam in groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Chushan-Rishathaim, the king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Chushan-Rishathaim 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. God wanted Othniel to be the deliverer to the children of Israel. God had that as his purpose. I want you to be the deliverer. We see it in Judges where the children of Israel, it's this cycle that they go through. The people sin. They get away from God. God punishes them by sending enemies over to overtake them. They see how they're wrong and they cry out to God. God sends them a deliverer, or the Bible calls them a judge. And there is peace as long as that judge is alive. But when that judge dies, the cycle starts all over again. I believe there are 14 different judges that the Bible talks about. And Othniel was the first. He was the first judge that God had put in. The people had done evil in the sight of God. And so God had a king, an evil king, that he allowed to overtake the children of Israel, Chushan-Rishathaim, and he had that man who was going to go, and the Bible says that they served him for 8 years. Let me just throw this out to you. When we sin and God punishes us, it's never just to hurt us. God doesn't put us under bondage, or God doesn't do anything to us just so he can hurt us. Just out of spite, because he wants to get back at us for doing something. He always brings something in our life so we can get right. And that's what God was doing in the lives of these children of Israel. He had brought this evil king into their lives and had made them serve him for 8 years until they realized that they were wrong and they cried out to God. And so God had a man that he had a purpose for. God had a man that he had a reason for his life, named Othniel. He said, Othniel, I have a purpose for you. I want you to go and do that now. I have a reason for you. And God chose Othniel to deliver Israel. God has a purpose for you also. Maybe God wants you to be dad or mom. Hey, maybe God wants you to be that bus captain. Maybe God wants you to be that Sunday school teacher or Sunday school helper. Hey, maybe God has a perfect plan laid out for your life. He has that. I don't say maybe he does. He does. He has a purpose. He has a plan. Just like he did for Othniel, he has a plan for you. Maybe your plan isn't Othniel's. To deliver Israel. To become a judge. But God has a plan. Amen. There's no doubt in my mind, Pastor Angel, his plan, his purpose is as pastor of this church. What is your plan? Excuse me, what is God's plan for you? What is your purpose? What is the whole reason why God made you the way that you are? Why is it that God has created you that way? Because he has a plan. Because he has a purpose. Hey, does he want you to be a soul winner? Does he want you to help out in some area of the ministry? Hey, does God want you to tell your family about Christ? What does he have for you? Othniel, what makes him so special? He had a purpose. He had a purpose. Next thing that I see, not only did he have a purpose, but he had a problem. You know what his problem was? He was infected. He wasn't infected with Ebola or swine flu or the Zika virus. He was infected with something that really wouldn't be a bad thing if you and I were infected with. He was infected with faith. He was infected by faith. Othniel had learned to have bold faith and to live a courageous life. Faith not in himself, faith not in his own strength, in his own cleverness, in his own abilities, but faith in God. And that what God said he would do, he would do. And what God said he would give them, he would give them. And if God says, I want you to go there, he'll make a way. He had faith. His faith was based on a God that would always be there, no matter what the challenge. Turn over to Psalms chapter number 18 with me. Psalms chapter number 18. Keep your finger there in Judges, but Psalms chapter number 18. We'll look at verses 1 through 3. Psalm 18. Psalm 18, it says in verse number 1, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler in the horn of my salvation, in my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, listen, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. He was infected by faith. Hey, that is the kind of person that God is looking for. That is the kind of person that God wants to use. Somebody who is infected with this. Somebody who has this. Somebody who is willing to ignore what the storm that might be in front of them, ignore whatever the challenge is, but to go boldly out and do God's will because they have faith in God. Do you know why I believe that part of the reason Othniel was infected by faith? Was because he hung around someone who was infected by faith. Wait. Didn't I just tell you about what Caleb had done? All of the faith that Caleb had? You realize that faith undoubtedly played a role in Othniel's life also. He heard the stories that Caleb had told about all that God in his life. And by hearing those stories, they built a foundation for his own faith. Can I tell you, that's what church is for also. You can hear your Sunday school teacher get up and tell about what God has done for him this week. You can hear Pastor Angel get up and preach about what God is doing. And you can hear about that person's faith. And that person's faith can increase your faith. He was infected because he hung around somebody else that was infected. Faith is essential in our Christian life. Othniel, he had a purpose. Othniel, he had a problem. But when you look at it, it really wasn't that bad of a problem. Next, he had been prepared. Turn over to Judges chapter number 1. Judges chapter number 1. He had a purpose. He had a problem. And now he had been prepared. Judges chapter number 1. Years before Othniel became a judge, his uncle Caleb, who was looking for someone to take an important city. And look at this, verse number 13. It says, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it. This was years before he was that judge. This was years before he had the title. This was years before he even knew that that was God's plan for his life. But he was preparing himself even then. He didn't just sit around. He practiced his faith by taking that city for Caleb. And then, when God wanted a man, there was somebody that was already prepared. There was somebody that was already ready to go. And he said, you know what? I can use that guy. He's not just sitting around. Yeah, I have faith, but, you know, I'm waiting for something big to use it on. Yeah, I got faith, but you know what? When you're ready to move a mountain, call me. But until then, are you preparing yourself? You know, most people in the Bible that are known for doing one great thing. Not everybody, but most people in the Bible are known for doing one great thing. Noah built an ark. Gideon, he took an army of 300 versus the entire army of the Midianites. Esther saved her people from annihilation. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown into the fiery furnace and they walked out without a hair burned. Incredible things. And on we could talk about people who, for the most part, when you think of that person, you think of one great event. That's the one thing that comes to your mind. And can I tell you? That one thing shaped biblical history. But they didn't just stumble into it. Those people were prepared beforehand. Most of them had gotten in the habit of doing right before God used them. Most of them had gotten into the habit of being faithful before God ever used that faith for that great event. And they prepared themselves by being faithful. Luke 16:10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God is not only looking for a man of faith, He's also looking for a man of faithfulness. How do you prepare yourself? By being faithful. Doing what's right and staying at it. You know the story of Adoniram Judson. Only 12 days after marriage, he and his new wife set out from Massachusetts on their way to the mission field. They underwent some economic challenges. They lost some financial backing of their supporters only a few months after leaving the United States, but they stayed faithful. There was some problems, and they ended up going to Burma, which today is Myanmar. But they stayed faithful. He was there, and for over 6 years, he preached, and he preached, and he preached without a single convert. But he stayed faithful. On June 27, 1819, Judson baptized the first Burmese believer. Converts were added slowly, a second, then three, then six, and on to 18. In 1993, the head of the Myanmar Evangelical Fellowship stated, "Today there are 6 million Christians in Myanmar, and every one of us trace our spiritual heritage to one man, the Reverend Adoniram Judson." What good is that great faith if you don't just prove yourself faithful? Hey, you got to stay with it. You got to keep after it. You got to keep going. Hey, you might mess up, but you get yourself back up and you keep going. Just man falls 7 times, but riseth up again. Don't let yourself stay down. Hey, Othniel said, I'm going to prove myself faithful. I'm going to keep on going. I'm not going to stop. I have a purpose. Hey, listen, I've got a problem because of the faith that I have. And you know what? I'm going to prepare myself by staying faithful. How are we doing in that area? Are we faithful? Are we faithful to God? Are we faithful like we should? We need to be faithful. God's not going to take somebody who's not faithful in order to do something great for Him. You're not going to be able to just stumble into doing a great work. God wants somebody that is prepared. Caleb says, I need somebody I need just somebody normal. I don't need a judge. I just need somebody who's willing to step up and take that city. I can do it. Hey, uncle, I can do it. All right, go ahead. He goes and he takes that city. Lastly, he was a picture. Let me show you something that excited me when I saw this. Othniel, he was from the tribe of Judah. Othniel, his name means Lion of God. Othniel was the chosen rescuer of Israel. And Othniel rescued God's people from their sins. That sounds a lot like Jesus to me. Revelation 5:5 says that he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Matthew 1:2 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins." So we have a man that is of the tribe of Judah, whose name means Lion of God, chosen rescuer of Israel, and chosen rescuer of God's people. You say, now, that's pretty interesting. Listen to this. What was the bad king's name in this? Chushan Rishathaim. You could probably say it as well as me now. That wicked king, that wicked oppressor, his name was Chushan Rishathaim. Chushan Rishathaim, his name means doubly wicked blackness. Acts 26:18 says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So the Lion of God came to defeat the one who is doubly wicked blackness, so God's people could be free from the curse of their sins. Hey, what a great picture that is of what Jesus did for us. A great picture that's in Judges here. Turn over to Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. I'll go quickly here. Hebrews chapter number 2. Verse number 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The children of Israel who were in bondage for 8 years. And who knows, if Othniel, the man that God had a plan for, if he hadn't prepared himself beforehand, who knows how much longer they could have been in bondage. I was in bondage for 13 years. I wasn't saved. I didn't know that Christ was in my heart. I had never asked Him into my heart and never asked Him to save me. But as a young teenager, I bowed my head and asked Him into my heart. And can I tell you, if you don't know that today, you can get that taken care of. Because the Bible says that we are in bondage to sin. We are in bondage to the devil. But the Lion of God came one day. And He came to die on the cross for you and me. So that's amazing that God would put a story in Judges chapter number 3 as a picture of Christ. Yeah. But you know, in 2016, you and I are to be pictures of Christ too. Hey, what is a Christian? We are to be Christ-like. And so, Othniel, he was supposed to be a picture of Christ. You and I, we're supposed to be pictures of Christ too. You and I are supposed to, when people see us, they're supposed to see the difference that's there. They're supposed to see that there is something that makes us distinct, something that makes us different, something that makes us like someone else. Because we are pictures of Him. And we need to be like Christ. You ask me today, what was so special about Othniel? You know, he did something special, but he really wasn't all that special. God has a purpose for you too. But what kind of faith do you have? What kind of faithfulness do you have? Have you been strengthening that faith through faithfulness? Being faithful in the little things so you can be faithful in the big things? Can anyone else see the faith that is in you? What an incredible picture that God gave us here. What an incredible story that God gave us. It's not a very long story. We don't know a whole lot about Othniel, but we know those things. And the same things that made him special make you special, potentially, as long as you put those in your lives and we allow God to work through us. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's a very simple message. Very simple about what you can do with us. What you can do through us. As long as we are willing to trust in you. As long as we are willing to take the steps today in order to be successful tomorrow. In order to stay faithful no matter what. I pray, Lord, that you please help us to be people of faith. Lord, if there's anybody in here that does not know for sure that they're going to heaven someday, I pray, Lord, that they would make this the day of their salvation. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around, I wonder if there's anybody in here that says, Brother Mick, to be honest with you, when you were talking about that, I was saying, I don't know that. I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die. I've never asked Christ in my heart with nobody looking around. If you'd be honest with me this morning and say, Brother Mick, that's me, just slip your hand up real quickly. I won't embarrass you, but if that's you, just slip your hand up, put it up, and say, that's me, Brother Mick. You can put your hand back down. Anybody at all like that? I wonder if you say, Brother Mick, something that was said in the message spoke to my heart. I need to realize that God does have a purpose for me. I need to understand that I need to have faith. And I haven't had faith like I should. I need to be faithful and let God prepare me. I need to understand that I'm supposed to be a picture. If there's anybody like that, say, Brother Mick, that's me. Just put your hand up. Put it right back down. I see hands already coming up. But why don't we stand? And as the piano plays, why don't we come forward, do business with God this morning.